Father's Day. Let's talk about Father's Day. You know, on these special occasions, you're really with Scripture. There are only certain Scriptures that we can cover on those days. And inasmuch as we are a family in our Father's house, then certainly on Father's Day, though we have some pretty good old boys that's your earthly father, and some of them are just regular kings, and some of them might be a mule's foot. You can't tell. But anyway, we're to honor, at least be thankful for your mother and father. They gave you life, and God chose your soul to place in that embryo. And you're here. Well, I know you're supposed to honor your mother and father, but you don't know what God blessed me with. You know, they are my mother, I can't stand her. Well, there's always that one fact, and I realize this is a rare occasion, you know, but it does happen. Still appreciate the life that they gave you, and then you should be their star in life, okay? That if they're that much below you, and I'm being a little crude in saying that, you can maybe bring them up. And if, by simply setting an example, you're not to tell them necessarily what to do or how to do it, but you can love them. You don't have to love what they do. And then we have the mothers and the fathers, certainly, that have been a blessing and that we can be so thankful for. We can be thankful for all of them. But the reason I always choose our Father on Father's Day is because He's one that will never let you down. He will never leave you, nor will He forsake you. He is one that, even as sure as the sun comes up in the morning and goes down at night, He's with you when you need Him. He is a Father of love, of understanding. He puts up with our shenanigans and sometimes corrects us for them. So I chose today, with these thoughts in my mind, how we might best look at that family. And I think through the teachings of the Savior in the book of John, in chapter 15, that we find the family tree. And that's kind of what this is about. Let's turn, if we may, to that 15th chapter of St. John. Excuse me. We're talking about the vine. Now, quite frankly, you're either a part of that vine or you're outside of your Father's house. You're outside of your Father's will. You're outside of your Father's way. And regardless of what some people might think, God's Word raises you above denominationalism. For there is only one Christ, there's only one Father, there's only one church. Now, people go by many names and so forth for traditions or for legal reasons. We've all got to have a name to even be recorded. But there is still, don't you ever forget it, only one church. And that is His body, His congregation. And the Word will bring you above traditions that people will fall away on, many times, unfortunately, because of their ignorance of the manuscripts. They'll establish a whole new line. But your Father is not that way. Your Father is solid. You can always count on Him. And He is your Father. Suppose we should maybe say a word. Many people say, "What's God?" Well, we're made in His image. He looks like we do, in a way. It's only supernatural. He cries. He laughs. He has feelings. They can get hurt sometimes. Maybe disappointed is a better word. And do you know who disappoints Him? We do. We can really hurt Him by not letting Him know how much we love Him, how much we care. Then you walk into that realm of that walk with Him. that He's truly your Father. Not some force out in space circling around like a gigantic electronic field that's ready to zap somebody, but a gentle, strong, but bold, loving, supernatural Father that knows when you hurt, He knows when you're happy. Well, how could He keep up with that many children? Well, do you know what the old lady that lived in the shoe did? She knew every pain and every whimper, and you know how many children she had. All right, well, your Father does too. And He's got a lot more than what's on earth today to take care of, even. And He still knows. Why? He's supernatural. But He still has time for each of us to reach down, to touch, to listen, to hear, and to help. There are some very simple, basic rules that you must adhere to and act upon to be a part of His family, though you are, that is to say, better translated, in good standing in His family. And let's let Christ say it rather than ourselves. In the 15th chapter of St. John, using an analogy that anyone, a child, can understand. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, this is the family tree. I came here, the Son did. He was in the image of God, and He was called God with us. And when you saw the Son, you also saw the Father. So our Father loved us a great deal more than some might realize. You know what a husbandman is? That's the caretaker. He's the one that grubs the weeds out below the vines, gets those big pruning shears and takes to the vines, kind of trims them up and shapes them up, you know, because why? As it's going to say, He wants them to be good vines. He wants them to what? Produce fruit. And that's not too much for a father to expect from a child. Not fruit on his behalf necessarily, but for the family. For our Father's family, for His other children. All right? A family always works together. They try to come to one accord as best they can, yet they never shall, because God has different assignments for different children, be that as it may. Verse 2, every branch. Now, did it say those on the north side of the vine or the bush? No. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth. Just say He prunes it, that it may bring forth fruit. Why does He do that? To punish it? To make it fall in line? No. To cause it to bring forth more fruit. Many times when God chastises us, we pick up little things that might be offensive to someone. And yet at our best, we might still be offensive to certain people, be that as it may. But Father has one job for you. Along with loving Him, that's to produce fruit. And in a sense, in all actuality, that fruit is love. Love for each other. Love for Him, His children, His Savior, our family. We have a very understanding Father. And you know something? He uses a lot of common sense. He really does. He explains things in this way. Now, some of us at some time or the other might say, well, I love Him, but I just am not receiving any blessings. It seems like when I start to study, it just won't sink in up here. I just can't seem to get ahead. Don't you know what's happened? Your taproot has jumped track. You've separated yourself from the vine. And you're not going to be fit for nothing or nobody, and all. You'll probably end up being a poor me baby. God never blesses me. Well, get your taproot back into the vine. Be a teammate to your Father. He can't feed you if you're not hooked up. Or I should put it a little different way. He won't feed you if you're not hooked up. And I've got news for some people. He doesn't feed you for the sake of you being fed. If you ever think, yes, I want this and I want that and I want everything else, that isn't what it said at all. He doesn't feed you so you can be the queen berry on the vine. There's the berry of berries. Look at her grow. Isn't she magnificent? I got news for you. If that berry of berries doesn't produce fruit, it's here today, gone tomorrow with nothing. Nothing. God feeds you whereby you can produce fruit. Otherwise, you're worthless. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. But self-centered. And do you know something? If you really have that attitude, it won't be long until your little old taproot, your main branch that brings the metabolism into your body, will start shrinking. You'll have a harder time remembering Scripture. I know there are other reasons for this as we mature in age and so forth, and the impurities of this world can, for medical reasons, can do that. But I'm not talking about someone that might have hardening of the arteries or something of that nature. I'm talking about a normal, healthy person. He will cut you off rather than prune you if you don't make some effort to produce fruit, because that's your number one reason for existing here. If you are in the family, is to produce fruit. And maybe we should talk about that a little bit. How do I produce fruit? It just might be for a smile at a neighbor that's just really down and couldn't make the day. But do you know something? A smile or a friendly, good morning, how are you today? It can pick some people up and they can just go right on, you know? I have a stock answer and phone, how are you doing? Hey, just fantastic, you know. They don't care about the little problem I might have had that I whipped out real quick anyway, all right, or I might still be working on it, but they don't want to hear about it. Yeah. And we were talking about a professor, I'm not going to mention his name because of this tape going many places, but I mentioned his name, we'll be with him here in just a few hours. But he said, boy, I can be in the hospital or anywhere, but it's fantastic to call you. It just makes my day just to hear you come online. So that's fruit, my friends, is to let people know. They're pretty soon, they're going to have to get around to saying, why is that person so happy all the time? That person is so happy it makes me sick. Because, you know, just has always got something good to say about somebody or something, you know, or at least it's honest and truthful. Pretty soon they got to say, why? Tell them, say, I'm a big old watermelon making seed. That's what I'm making fruit, in other words. All right, or I'm a big bunch of grapes and I've got a bunch of little ones. All right, we're making hay while the sun, we're making grape juice while the sun shines here. You know, do you got the point? I realize some would say, maybe you digressed a little bit. Well, be that as it may, it gets the point across and I'm in the business of communication, all right? God wants you to produce fruit. That's what He's got you for. All right? If you're not, I imagine you got trouble. All right? I imagine you got trouble. Think about it. Okay, verse 3. Now we are clean, or just translate that, pruned if you want to, shaped up. We are shaped up through the word which I have spoken unto you. But what word? The word of God. That will shape you up, my friend. It will answer all your questions if you will seek prayerfully and if you will study. There's not a question or a problem that you have that isn't answered right here for you taking the trouble to say, and I'm going to tell you something. Father's way always works. You may have a little rough time of it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. A good person likes a rough time every once in a while, and that may sound absurd to some. But if I didn't have a little bit of a problem every once in a while, I'd get so bored, I wouldn't know what to do. And I'm not asking for trouble. Don't worry. You don't have to. It'll come along. But, man, alive to be able to defeat this world at its own game, whew, that's fun. Right? That's fun for a Christian, is to be able to defeat Satan at his own game. Just, I mean, clomp him right in the teeth. All right? And let him know what a child of God looks like. All right? So, you are pruned. Doesn't God's Word prune you a little bit every once in a while? Do you know what that means? Kind of, whoo, ooh, he cut a twig off there. All right? I mean, the Word can get right next to you, especially if you have any of these little old habits like I do, and I'm teaching along, and ooh, it just, that's not going to stop me from teaching it. But when you get on your own habits, that's so painful. You know, the Word just, I mean, it shapes you up, friend. You got the point? All right. Now, here's another one of the secrets. Verse 4, abide. In the Greek, that's meno. Remember it from the 14th chapter of this? That's the mansion. It means abide. That means live in, rest. All right? In me, he says. You got trouble? Live with him for a while. Abide in him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye accept ye abide in me. That's the only way you can produce fruit. The Word itself prunes our, I'm going to call it habits, okay? It prunes our habits away. I would be willing to say there's not one person in this room that doesn't have one little habit that, man, I could only get rid of that. Pray about it, and I search, and I seek, and Lord, release me. Help me with this one little habit, you know? And I don't know if that's a thorn in the side or what, but don't ever give up. That's when God would be most disappointed in you, all right, is if you gave up even worrying about it. That's a bad, bad sign. But this Word will prune you, and you got to realize there's no way, no way that you can have that help unless you stay in the vine. What is it? The Word. His Word. All right? That's the vine to your eternal life, your advisor, your counselor, the one that brings you peace of mind. All right? Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. That really gets it down pretty fine. That's family, friend. And it all plugs into our Father. You can't get any closer than that. He that abideth, meno, that lives in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Unfortunately, my dear ones, that's true. You better believe it. You can't do a thing without him. You're really not fit for too much. You might be getting along pretty good in this world, but we're not really of this world. This world age is what I'm speaking of, is going to pass away. So you may be able to get along out there, but you're not into the eternal, the eons that shall take us into what is really living. To abide in means to live in. That's the mansion. It means really my rest. I am your rest. The word Sabbath in the Hebrew, rest. I am your Sabbath. I am your rest. I am your vine. Hey, if you're a little old branch and you haven't got a vine, do you know what happens to you? Have you ever cut one off of a bush? Lay her out in the sun and watch it for 2 days and have an object lesson. That's what will happen to you. You dry up, you wither, and you are nothing. I mean, nobody. But in Him, in the common sense that He brings forth from His Word, we are cleaned, are pruned, are made worthwhile. And you can be a blessing to somebody else. And that's what really pleases Him. If you can just produce fruit. All right? Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, if he's not a part of that vine, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. At the end of the millennium, that is exactly what will happen. And that's why your family and your family life is so important with your Father, to love Him, to know what He has done for you. Does He just give orders like this? We'll find out. 7. If you abide in me, if you come on home, if you rest in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I think probably that in producing fruit, that this little family probably is one of the better living examples of that. Do you know what he meant? If you will do this, if you will believe my word, and if you'll stay plugged into my vine, ask whatever you want to in your method of producing fruit, your ministry, your friendships, your family. I'm talking about your blood family even. But anything that will further you in producing that fruit, ask and I'll give it to you. Now where most people get really off track is they'll say, it said right there, ask and I can receive. I want a new Mercedes. I haven't known too many people that were won over with their Mercedes. Not into the Word. Now, you might win a lot of people over in the world with a Mercedes. I don't know. But not in the world. That won't help you at all. And besides, there's nothing wrong with a Christian having a Mercedes. All right? Just work for it, friend. And just work for it. And you got it. It's that simple. God doesn't cut us away from anything. But don't ask Him for it. Unless your ministry really requires a Mercedes. I'm not trying to talk against any minister or anything else. I just want you to see the point. We asked for time on stations when we got into this. And, I mean, we were in a little old building in Northwest Arkansas. It used to be a roller rink, and there were quite a few people would come here and study. Here's one family that grew up right here when we used to teach in living rooms even. Seen it come right on blossom. But we asked for and prayed for a platform. Boy, did He give us a platform. I mean, we're in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, all around the world, and it just keeps going. It's mind-boggling at what He'll give you if you really plug the taproot into the vine and say, not for us, Lord, but for those, that fruit that we can reach, that we can touch with your word, not ours. And boy, He pours it on. And as I stated, this little group is a fine example of that. Our production has absolutely run us out of this building. That's why, the only reason, you see what's being built up the hill. We're not ashamed of this auditorium. It's been real a blessing to us. But, yeah, He's given us a better one. And do you know what this is going to be turned over to? Real huge tape-making equipment, you know. Not the little click-click type cassette things, you know, but I'm talking about mass production, you know. It's a strange thing. The tape ministry plugged into the vine built this ministry. Television did not start it. They did. And it seems that it's saying, ouch, we've outgrown me in my present condition. And it requires the bigger equipment, and that's what will be. The word will still be going out of here 24 hours a day. And There will be huge equipment in here that will that makes tapes at a rate I won't even go into. And it's but I, what my point is this: what do you need to produce fruit? If you're plugged in right, ask for it. He'll give it to you. I guarantee it. If you're worthy, if you've got the boldness and the brass to stand up and be a man or a woman or a child of God, I guarantee you He'll put it to you. But you got to do it for Him and for the fruit that it's going to bring, not for yourself, all right? That's very important. And that's it's so very important that you always remember that. Self is really not too much. Like I said, we all know ourselves pretty well, don't we? I know my weaknesses and so forth. So I'm glad it's for Him that the fruit comes forth, and I'm glad we didn't have to count on Arnold Murray's righteousness. Oh, my. Well, ask Anna sometime. All right. I'm kidding. In a way, I'm kidding. Don't ask her whatever you do. Okay, back. I'm digressing again here. I don't know. It's Father's Day, and men kind of don't handle things right anyway, ladies, so forgive me here. Here we go again. Now, verse 23. Is that where we were? I mean, I've got back in chapter 13 somewhere here. How did that happen? Let's get back to chapter 15 and let's try verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's the point. Ask. Hey, don't ask and do without, my friend. That's the other side of that coin. If you need it and don't ask me. Ask Him. All right? 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Boy, there's a lot in that verse. When you bear fruit, who's glorified? You? I don't think that's what it said. It said, herein is my Father glorified. When you produce much fruit, don't ever forget it, my friend, then you can be His disciple. Do you know what the word, our word discipline comes from this Greek word, disciple. It means you must discipline yourself. And discipline your mind, whereby you are producing His words, not yours, His needs, not yours. And I want to let you know a little secret. If you do that, if you take care of His needs first in your mind, He's going to add all those other things to you anyway. He will, I promise you, He will. I could go. I don't like personal stories, but so I'm not going into it. I was going to give you an example, and I think better of it. Verse 9: As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's the foundation, in a way, my friend. So many people are afraid of love. My mom and dad, I've been around. I kind of would like to tell them I love them, but it'd be kind of embarrassing. That word, you know, love, I love you. My sister, I haven't spoke to her in quite a while, and I really, in the heart, I love her. I do. I just can't bring myself to say, I love you. Why can't you be honest? If you love her, tell her you love her. It's that. You know, and that heals. That just, that just works miracles in healing a relationship, is to let somebody know, whether you agree with what they're doing or whatever, that you love them. All right? Now don't approach them either with this, I love you, but. Just tell them you love them and let it go at that. It's those buts that'll get you in more, you know, I mean, it'll just take the relationship and throw it right back in low gear, compound, again, you know, okay? Just tell them you love them. Hey, I don't like nitpickers anyway. Do you? Somebody that says, well, she's not like I am. Well, thank God. So we all have our own little traits, and learn to love people with their traits. You know, hey, every group ought to have one. You know, that's really true. Every group should have one. And you can live with that if you're a big person. I don't know. It seems like I'm digressing, and I intended to just slide right over this because it's so basic and wonderful. But isn't basic sometimes wonderful? Isn't it really? Okay. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. Do you want joy in you? Then remember that. And that your joy might be full. Just happy about it. All right? That's the way, my friend. 12, this is my commandment. And you know what that means. Get ready. I command you that you love one another as I have loved you. Do you know how he loved you? Do you know how your Father, through his Son, the Savior, loved you? Listen, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 14, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, what did that say? If you do what I command you, what did he command you to do? Study his word. Believe the word. You're going to mess up. He didn't say, I'm going to write the Ten Commandments on the wall and curse the person that shall fall. That isn't what he said, all right? You're going to mess up a little bit. He said, love my word. Love it. All right? And don't forget repentance either, okay? But he loved you enough that he considered you friend if you just listen to his word. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. In other words, there's not a thing in the world you need to know that isn't written right here in both the Old or the New Testaments, because he's the whole Word, not just the New. All right? 16, ye have not chosen me. Now listen, you on the third level, listen carefully. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. What are you good for? What is it you're supposed to do? What is your destiny? Bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's the way it works, friend. And again, we're one group that should never even wonder about that, because he has blessed us, taken us from when we first moved. Now I'm going to use a personal thing now because it's just about us, all right? When we first moved into this roller rink, these petitions weren't in here, none of this was, and we were on an old blue skating floor, and there were some of these original chairs. And I taught in living rooms and in old churches that didn't even have electricity hooked up. Remember, Jeff, when me and you used to fly over in the hills? And people got hot, you know, but they had invented these air conditioners. I'm jesting in a way. They'd invented air conditioners long before that. We just couldn't afford them, okay? But I ordered that. See that? That's a big old Montgomery Ward air conditioner over in that wall. And I thought, God, I'm going to buy them myself if I have to, because we didn't have the money. And I ordered one for there and one for in the office. And I thought, God, my our people deserve to be comfortable while they're studying God's Word or while they're working. And, you know, like I said, in the church account, we'd just had some old rock poured out here in front where cars wouldn't bog in and that sort of thing, and it took our all we had. And then I don't even remember now how it came, where it came from, but by that Friday when they got here, when those machines got here, they were paid for. You know, and I'm just using that as an example. And from that to a multi-million-dollar-a-year ministry, I mean, more money than I ever dreamed of. I used to joke about, well, I'm working on my second million, you know. Well, how come? Well, I give up on the first one. I know all of you remember that. So, and don't think that doesn't cross my mind every couple of months or so or months when we click off another million, you know. And it all goes back to do what? Fruit, my friend. Fruit. Some of you are fruit sitting right here. From that, the Irish is wanting to rumble, but are part of that, and I thank God for it. But you see what I'm saying, beloved? Don't separate yourself from the vine and say, yeah, that works while we're in that body. It works in your home also. It works for you as an individual, just like that. Just don't put on the dog or, you know, or pretend you're something you're not with the Father, because He knows you inside and out, all right? Just talk to Him and He'll take care of you. Ask Him. Ask Him and receive. 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Hey, they crucified Him. He laid His life down for you. 19. If you were of the world would love his own. You know who's the prince of this world age? It's Lucifer. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out, let that sink in good, of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Excuse me. Now the secret is this. He would tell you in Matthew chapter 18, long about verse 10, 11, 12, be wiser than the serpent, but as peaceful as a dove. A little old dove's always got plenty of nest, all right? So you can beat Satan at his own game in the world. He doesn't say that by meaning that in this world age you're never going to have anything. Quite the contrary. With God's blessings and your knowledge you have of what the world is doing to outthink it, you can do real well in this earth age and never participate in it a great deal. Just be smarter than it is, okay? And where do you learn that? From God's Word. Have you ever heard someone say, boy, if I would have drove through here 20 years ago and knew what this land was going to be, you know, I could have been a millionaire. Well, it was there all the time, my friend. God's prophecies come to pass exactly the way they're written. Think about it. All right, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Hey, you're not too worried about those people that persecute you. If you had to put up with what some of the ladies that answer the phone banks in here did after I did our military, woo, it's an education in perversion when you rattle their chains. And if you don't intend to stand up and be bold, you're going to receive a few death threats occasionally. Well, that's where trusting our Father and being tough comes from, all right? So you don't worry about that sort of thing. You just use common sense in all things. But hey, you have to kind of make your mind. Well, I want to be respected in my town. There's not a thing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with it. Just remember this. The only way they will respect you is if you're honest, and that if you protect your credibility, and if you are successful in the Lord, they will respect you. Now, there are people in this city that respects yours truly, because I have lived here for 35 years. I've buried many of their loved ones when they didn't even know what I taught, but because they respected me as a citizen of this town, police commissioner, school board, just, you know, regular run of the mill, you know, that people can respect you if you're honest and if you move forward, but don't go along with them when they dip into the vat of worldliness. Separate yourself, and they'll still respect you. They'll still respect you. All right? But don't expect them to love you for our overall teaching and what have you. If you do it boldly, Why not? The Kiwanis Club came by here. They wanted to come in and see what we were doing. And you know what the Kiwanis Club is. They're a good old bunch of boys, all right? Really, they are. Ministers and do-good type people, you know, fix up this and fix up that. And David was supposed to be here that morning, or I was. Anyway, we got our wires crossed and forgot about it, didn't we, Dave, or something? I can't remember. Anyway, they called to the person that was on duty, Delbert, I think, or somebody. The Kiwanis Club is here for a look-through. Well, I was the closest, so I ran over, and I took them through, and by this time, I think it was, Delbert was probably already gone home, wasn't he, Deb, by that time? Yeah. But they said, well, we were standing in the middle of the control room for the network, and they said, well, what are you asking? You're answering those questions? What do you do like when you answer those questions? I said, well, it was like an old boy called a question in here and said, I didn't vote. Is that the Christian thing to do? And I told him, I said, the Christian thing to do is, because of people like you, that we've got a homosexual loving president in office. I thought they would faint. I'm telling you, you should have seen the expression. And of course, the Methodist minister was standing right in front of me. And but two or three of them turned around and chuckled, you know, like that. And the others just, I mean, they changed the subject fast, really quick. So, you know, we can't communicate on the same level with some people, supposedly so-called. What were we talking about, and how did I get off into this? But I'm telling you, the world doesn't particularly like us when we just lay a little truth bud on them. It just shocks the daylights out of them, and that's good for them. All right, enough said. Let's get back to it here. Okay, 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Sin committed in ignorance is no sin, my friend. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Do you know something, beloved? They hate your Father too. If they hate Christ, they hate your Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they have not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. All the miracles, we could go on and on. 25. But this cometh to pass. This is the reason it was, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. And sometimes they will you, beloved, and that's frustrating. Don't let it get to you. In a sense, there is a cause that they hate you sometimes. Cause that they hate you sometimes, that's because you follow in His footsteps. Don't let it bug you. But always be wiser than the serpent. Protect your credibility, all right, in the community. Do you know, let me just spend one just quick second on that. You don't, where you work is to put beans on the table for your family. It doesn't mean God's not meaning that you should go where you work and convert them all to your way of thinking. No, that's where you make the beans at, all right? So you don't, I don't believe, quite frankly, unless someone comes up and asks me a question, I don't believe in mixing work with my beliefs necessarily. That may shock some of you. But it is best that you do not, unless, as I repeat, unless someone asks you, then take them to a place where you can talk to them and answer their question, because you are guilty then if you do not. All right? Protect your credibility. That makes you respected, whereby those that are supposed to hear your voice will hear it gladly, rather than to be called a nut in an overall community. Okay, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I shall will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, underline that in your mind, Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's what we work with, through, in, and is in you today, beloved, is that Comforter, the Holy Spirit. 27, listen to this, deep thought, wake up for me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Remember back in verse 16 when he said, you didn't choose me. He's talking here to the elect, those with a destiny. You've been through the whole thing from the beginning. He said, this shouldn't be big news to you. Think about it, my friend. Think about it. Some people he expects a little more out of. Why? Because you got it. You can handle it. You can cut it. All the time we were going through this, it said, if you do my commandments. If you do my commandments. And many Christians just get on a guilt trip and just pull the window shade between them and the Father. Because they know, I don't do them all. I have this, that, and the other. This gets in my way. I think I do too much of this, and I think I should do more of that, and this indecision. And pretty soon, yeah, I guess, when you get right down to it, I am a Christian, but I'm no good. You can put yourself, you can be your own worst enemy at times. And when you do that, beloved, you overlook your Father's love, the greatest gift He gives to us, His love. In closing, I don't know how much time. We're not in a hurry, are we? Turn back with me to Luke 15. I just feel led to cover this one thought in closing. Luke chapter 15. There was an old boy that Christ always teaches in such a magnificent way that He gives us examples in parable form. And this is the parable of the prodigal son. And this father that is listed in this parable was the father of the house, which is to say he symbolizes our Heavenly Father. Luke chapter 15. And it's a typical household. He had two sons, at least we know of two. And one of them got the antsy. All right, you know what it means to get antsy. He said, I want mine right now, and I want to go out into the world. This old man don't know nothing here, probably, and I can take what little I have right now, I can go out in the world, and I can control it. I mean, I know this world. So the old boy takes his dad, you know, you ask the father for something, he'll probably give it to you, all right? He gave him what I would call his part of the liquidity, all right? In other words, cash money on hand. He didn't sell the farm and give him his part, all right? Just his, we'll say liquidity. You all know what that is. That means the working capital in the bank. Here's your part. You take it. And the old boy goes out and he, well, let's see, somebody said, well, I don't study as often as maybe I should, but this old boy, verse 14 of chapter 15, and went he and spent all, there arose a mighty famine. He spent this in the prior verse, 13. His journey into a far country there wasted his substance with riotous living. And I mean, he just lived it up, blew it. Have you ever heard your mom or dad say, you just seem to blow all the money you got. It just burns a hole in your britches. All right. 14. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Well, for the sake of time, you know what happened to him. Hey, friend, when the color of green leaves your fingers, this world don't care too much about you. All right? In other words, they will be your friend as long as you can buy them. But as quick as the material things are gone from your hand, well, who are you? You know, they're through with you. He ended up in a hog pen, eating some of the lowest type food in the world. And finally, one day, now, the reason why am I doing this to you? Because of your little guilt trips at times. I mean, this old boy had made the harlot houses the whole bit, and it's documented and further on down, at least he's accused by his other brother. I mean, he went the full gamblet and just wore himself down to nothing. Stinking, filthy, dirty hog pen. Dirty. You know, the lowest carnal flesh in the world, the hog. He's there with them, eating out of the same trough. All of a sudden, it dawned on him. My father feeds his slaves better than this. He decided that old man knew quite a bit. You know, his old man wasn't too bad after all. He even treated his servants better than the world treated him without shekels in his pocket. And this is important, beloved. Did his father hear him say that? Admit in his own mind, my father's a lot better than this? Let's pick it back up in the 18th verse. The 17th is where he says that. And when he came to himself, that can be a real eye-opener sometimes. When he came to himself, can't you imagine? Here he is in that hog pen, he's filthy, dirty, and he looks at himself and maybe smells of himself and he's, oh Lord. You know, he came to himself. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. All right? When your shekels are gone, the world is through with you, friend. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He said, do you see this man's honesty here? He's not putting on any dog. He's not saying, I'm your son, and I want back in. Now, he's not saying that. He's probably saying in his own heart, I'm not fit to be a son. All right? 19. And am no more, here he says it, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Have you ever gone back to God that way? Were you the old cliche blackslidden, you know, so you were ashamed. You really felt bad. Oh, God, if you could just forgive me, Father. Do you know what happened when you said that? I'll show you here in just a minute. 20. And he arose and he came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, where was he? He was yet a great way off. My point is, he had not said one word to his father in person. That's why I want you to understand the love of your father. This same father that this symbolizes. His father saw him and had compassion. Our father always has compassion. and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. A dirty, filthy, hog slopping clothes. Had the boy asked for forgiveness? Had he begged for forgiveness? Hadn't said a word to him. And his father, you see, he knew from the time he repented. His father knew, which this is symbolic of our Heavenly Father. He knows when you're at your weakest, and that's when he steps in. That's when he grabs you and he kisses you in his love and begins to strengthen you and help you. Hey, he don't believe in putting on the dog, friend. He believes in you shucking down and being honest with him right to the core, because he already knows. You can't fool him. And he forgave that boy. He forgave that boy that had just really done nothing other than blew his whole liquidity in a riotous way. And then his father loved him. Friend, that's the kind of father you have. And do you know what? It's more than that. Do you know that when you repent and come home, that the angels in heaven throw a bash, a feast? They rejoice when you finally say, "Why? What? I come to myself and I find myself, I've let myself slip out into the world and got myself all cut up spiritually in the ways of the world and so on and so forth. Oh, Father, forgive me." Boy, the heavenly band strike up at that time and you say, "Father, I love you. I'm not even fit to be called a son." That's when your father, that's when the clay becomes pliable. And he can start working you and reshaping you and working with you to make something out of you whereby you are somebody, a child of the living God, instead of an old hard lump of clay that can do no wrong and would resist. "I know more than the old man does. I know what's good for me. I'll just take my little pittance out here in the world and I'll own the world pretty soon." And he ends up slopping hogs. Your father is the wisest counselor in the world, your heavenly father. Don't ever forget it. Okay, let's pick this back up again. Luke chapter 15 and verse 22. "Then the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand.'" That's a signet. That gives him authority to even write checks, if you want to know the truth about it. "And shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry." You think it doesn't please your father when you tell him you love him or when you repent? Do you think there isn't a celebration? Why do you think Jesus stated the words, "If I have 100 sheep and one goes astray, I'll leave the 99 and find that one"? Okay? Talking about election. Oh, how God loves His children. And how you owe Him your loyalty and your love. 24, "For this my son was dead." That's mortally he was dead. Spiritually he was dead. "And is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field." I mean, this old boy, that oldest boy, didn't take any of his dad's money. He didn't mean mouth his dad. And he's about to come in. I mean, he's probably got some old salt sticking out on his shirt there where he sweat through the middle of the day. And he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." This is the old boy that probably went out on that snowy night and maybe helped that mama deliver that calf. that they're having for with their music and dancing. In other words, he was loyal to his father. And he might have hand-raised that calf, you know, if there was a problem. But the main thing is, he had taken care of it. I just want you to see how things can kind of do you if you allow them, you know, all right? And he said to him, verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Just puffed up. I mean, got out on the porch swing, puffed up, and just sit there rocking, all right? Therefore come his father out and entreated him. Our father always knows. Oh, I love it. I love it. Here this old boy's puffed up on the porch swing. My words, okay? But it sounds good, doesn't it? He's puffed up on the porch swing there and he's not talking. I mean, he's hurt. But father knew it, okay? And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. No, you didn't do that. Well, it's real easy, beloved. Whenever you begin to read along, we were studying earlier how God is the vine. As long as you do His commandments, you're all right. What about this old boy? He went out running around all over the world. No telling what he said to his dad when he left. I don't believe in your way of doing things. I want to go make it on my own. He ends up in a slop pen. And his father forgives him and takes him in. So I don't want any of you to get on any guilt trips. Your father still loves you. And don't think for one minute I'm approving of sin. All right? I've got enough problems with that of my own. All right? You know, bad habits, this, that, and the other. You know, repent. But he said, know my word. Yeah, we know it and love it. But we fall short sometimes. But don't ever, ever doubt your Father's love. Because He loves you, sinner, as He loves this sinner. And when we repent and try harder, He gives us more fruit. He runs to meet us. The angels rejoice. And He blesses you. Do you know why? Do you remember when we closed out the 15th chapter in St. John? He said, you are to know because you've been with me from the beginning. Well, why would He do this other old boy this way? 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. I've been a good boy and he's been out, you know, doing these other things. 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Think about it. All that I have is thine. That should remind every one of you of a scripture in the 44th chapter of Ezekiel concerning inheritance. I'll help you remember in just a moment. 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. No, listen to me, beloved. It is written in that 44th chapter of Ezekiel, which is a millennium chapter. It come time to give the just, those chosen, their inheritance. And you know what God said to him? Don't give them any. That's true, so help me God. God said, don't give them any land allotment. He said, I am their inheritance. Everything I have is theirs. Wherever they stand, it belongs to them. So, beloved, there you have it. That's why. Especially when you repent or when you love Him. And we feel that love of His as it comes forth. Friend, don't ever get on a guilt trip. Just repent. Tell Him you love Him. He's your Father. He will never leave thee, nor will He ever forsake thee. He is your Heavenly Father. The one that created your soul. Do you know why? He was lonely. He created all things for His pleasure. That's why He created you, was for His pleasure. So make sure that you follow His instructions as best you can. And remember that solution that goes right on the base of the whole thing, the vine, everything, love. Never be ashamed of the word love, for it's the most powerful thing in the world. It will gain you more than even money will. That is a true saying. For love will even gain money. You understand what I mean? If you practice the love of Christ in your soul, you will be so successful that money won't even mean that much to you. And if you're still in that position, well, I could use a little more. Yeah, we all could sometimes in these hard times. But you can get too much, too. All right? You can get so much that you'll spend all your nights and days worrying where to put it to keep from having to pay tax on it or something else. Sometimes you even have trouble doing that with your paychecks. You know what I mean? In other words, I hope you understand what I'm saying. The most valuable thing in the world is your Father's love for you, because He won't meet you halfway. He meets you more than halfway. And that's precious. It surely is. Father, we thank You for the written word. Thank You, Father, for this Father's Day. Thank You for being our Father. And may we be pleasing unto Thee and find favor in Thy sight, Father. Many blessings You have poured out on this platform, Father. We ask that You give us the wisdom and the knowledge to be a blessing to all those we come in contact with. We'll be careful to give You the praise and glory in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus.